Hey, everybody. We are doing a special live stream. So there's a chance you're seeing us on YouTube. There's a chance you're seeing us on Facebook. We're on Twitch. I think we're on X. I'm not sure if anyone uses X anymore. I also attempted to set this up as a Instagram live. So we'll see if anybody's able to watch on Instagram. If you're watching on Instagram, say something because I don't know if I did it right. I need to know if I'm doing that correctly. What we are doing is a breakdown of what is happening this weekend, WrestleMania 40. Here where I live in Philadelphia, I will not be attending. Thank you for asking. And we got some of the wrestling fans of Geekscape to come out and talk about this. This will be released on the Matt Mania feed, our wrestling podcast. And one of the hosts of Matt Mania will be here shortly. He is running a little behind, but that is fine. So let's bring in someone who I hosted a wrestling podcast with for roughly 5 episodes, I believe. The feed is still out there, the Double Count Out Wrestling Podcast. Joshua Jackson of Dynamic Resolution. How are you doing, Joshua?
Hey, doing good. Happy to be back talking wrestling again.
Yes, every once in a while I'll check that, and for some reason, whatever our last episode was on, like, still gets listened to, and I don't know who is like, man, I really want to hear what these people's predictions were for, like, the King of the Ring 2018.
Right, yeah. Like, I really want to know what the G1 standings were in, like, 2019.
However long ago it was like, AEW, I don't think had happened yet. Because you were still trying to get us to watch, like, Ring of Honor and New Japan at that point.
Yeah, I remember bringing my recording equipment to Japan because we went to Wrestle Kingdom that year. And I was like, okay, I need a report back. So, yeah, those were the days before, back in the dark ages where we only had one major company.
Yep, and we are also joined by someone who also had a podcast briefly on the network and will now have a new podcast on the network. Kate, thank you for joining us.
Hey guys.
Now we're also, like I said, we're waiting on Brennan to join us, G1, as he is best known over at the Matt Mania podcast. So while we're waiting for him to jump in and join us, let's just kind of go through a very quick, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is your excitement for this WrestleMania? Because for the people watching and the people listening, I have basically gone from a guy who watched 7 to 8 hours of wrestling every week to a guy who watches the pay-per-views that seem to matter. So I've really taken a huge step down. Yeah. So outside of what I learned on Cultaholic, there's not much I know. I do want to bring in G1. Ready to rock here talking about this. G1, we haven't dove into too much just yet. I'm asking for everyone to give me their, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is the excitement level on WrestleMania 40 right now?
Scale of 1 to 10, excitement on WrestleMania 40, I would say for me, for the first time in a while, probably I'd give it a strong 9.
All right, Joshua, how about you? You've been a pretty, I know you've been kind of like getting off the WWE train more and more over the last couple of years. Where's your excitement level on this one?
Yeah, for me, like, I would have been higher if Punk was still on the card. Like, I was debating going when I thought he was going to main event night one. But with him off the card, it definitely hit my enthusiasm a little bit.
Right.
Like, I'll be completely transparent. I'm not the biggest Cody fan. I'm not the biggest Roman fan. But like, with The Rock being back, The Rock's like one of my favorites of all time, which isn't exactly a hot take, I know, but just him coming back with this new character and just him firing on all cylinders, I'm really excited to see what he's going to do, how he's going to play into everything. So overall, I would probably say a 7, mostly riding off of The Rock.
Okay. Kate, how about you?
I think I'd have to agree that my excitement is a 7. I mostly am into, like, New Japan and AAA wrestling.
Okay.
I haven't watched WWE in a long time, and especially with everything that had been coming out that we won't talk about, it's gotten a little, like, rocky for me. But I do feel like this is the first WrestleMania in a while. Not all of the matches are expected. Like, you can't really predict the booking, so I think that's exciting for a lot of people. But I still think most of the people are watching it for The Rock and the Bloodline storyline to conclude or move forward.
All right. And we have one last person joining us. My dude, Kyle from Horror Movie Night. Kyle, we're talking about what our excitement level is for Mania on a scale of 1 to 10. I mean, I should chime in, even though I haven't been following wrestling really that much in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a bunch of friends over my house. We're going to have a ton of snacks for two straight nights. And that, no matter what it is going to put me at a 9 or a 10 on the excitement level. Cause I just love hanging out with friends. You know what I mean? Like that's the way to do it.
I totally agree, man. Like what makes this WrestleMania special for a number of reasons. Like y'all, I agree. I would have loved to have seen Punk, you know, compete or whatnot. Punk's the $6 million man. He done been fixed and repaired like 80,000 times. Kidding. Hopefully this time around, you know, he sticks to it. But one of the reasons I'm excited is that Triple H, from a head of creative standpoint, is really unloading the clip. Yeah. You already got Wayne debuting his new single via the show. You already got, just announced today, Coco Jones is doing the national anthem on night one. And if you don't know who Coco Jones is, you've been sleeping up under a fucking rock. I think you need to go listen to some real music for a change. You got that going on. You got the two Usos in the main event. So that's in a match. So that's some representation right there. Jade Cargill's pinfall match debut outside of the Royal Rumble is side by side with two other goddesses, Bianca Belair and Naomi. So you get the three baddest chicks in wrestling, and you put them up against the three of the coldest chicks in wrestling Damage Control. And it's just that the representation is at an all-time high for me.
Yeah.
So many words, not to be all long-winded. This year, Triple H was really letting you know that, hey, I'm looking out for everybody. I'm trying to make sure that everybody eat in some way. Then you mess around and you create a show exclusively for X just to see people do, you know, quick flippy shit for 3 minutes a match. Like, even that is just like, you know, thank you. Sometimes that's really all I want.
That's a good way to describe it, because there's a lot of NXT people that are in major, major matches this year. So it's like, this is the kind of...
Yes, and thank you for expounding on that. That's another reason because for me, my excitement about WrestleMania doesn't just stem from the day; it stems for the whole weekend.
Yes, we're
stand and deliver the fire that's up under the ass of Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams right now is so crazy. They're gonna tear that building up. That whole situation gonna look like Adam Cole and Ricochet. You know, NXT takeover Phoenix or NXT takeover Brooklyn, like it's gonna be that level type of vibe.
Yeah.
Like, well, and that's the thing. I think that like the booking of that, and I think that unfortunately, because of the highs and lows that NXT has had over the past maybe 1 to up to 3 years, like
they lost a lot of steam on the way.
That match is going to be fire, and those dudes are gonna absolutely bring it without a doubt. It's just a matter of like, you know, if there were other performers in that role, they might not live up to like where they need to be to make sure that that match is gold. But like that match is going to be unreal. And I think Stand and Deliver, that whole show, that whole card is going to be good. It's just like people have been, I don't know if people have been sleeping on or have just been like sort of like removed because of everything else that's been going on. But I'm excited to hope that that fire come that like truly ignites that whole program, because
the NXT 2.0 really that was what killed NXT, because there was a point where when they were putting NXT up against AEW for a couple of weeks, I was like, all right, AEW might be winning on the overall people tuning in, but like NXT had my vote still very strongly. And then the Vince of it all came in. Yeah, they turned. They changed everything around. I'm like, what Never are they doing?
Right. But like the good thing about it, I think, and Carmelo and Trick are like a perfect example of it, is that they've really committed to investing into so many different new faces and personalities. And with them in particular, and why I think it's going to be so hot, is because, you know, this has been, we talk a lot about long-term booking lately, but that's what been a storyline that's a good year and a half, 2 years in the making, ever since Trick was essentially his manager, and they've allowed Trick. And this wouldn't have happened under a Vince McMahon regime where they let the manager essentially rise up to a point where he rivals the star he was supposed to be promoting, to the point now where they're on equal footing.
Yeah.
And I think that's just really exciting for the viewer.
Somebody needs to go to therapy. Apparently, whoever's writing that storyline needs to go to therapy. But I'm so glad that we get to see it live and in action. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it just clicked for me that was what was happening here.
Yes, I mean, I know Sandin delivers a separate thing from WrestleMania, but even including WrestleMania, I'm glad that got brought up, because that's one of the matches I'm most looking forward to over the whole weekend,
right?
WrestleMania or not.
Well, in NXT shows,
it's their whole weekend,
tend to always, at the end of the day, I feel like, at least back when I was watching every single show weekly, I would always walk away from every major pay-per-view weekend being like, ooh, that was a good Rumble, or that was a good Mania. But that takeover, though, that was always, it was always that NXT stole the show every single weekend without fail, 100% of the time. All right, well, let's start breaking down this card, though. People are excited for Mania. I'm excited to watch Stan and deliver as well, for sure. Now, I'm just basing this off of Wikipedia. This is no guarantee that this is the order of anything. But the first thing they have up here is Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. So what's everybody's feelings of excitement on this one? Where are we at here? Becky Lynch is on a book tour.
Yeah. Like, Becky's one of my favorite women's wrestlers of all time. She might be number two directly under AJ Lee. But I really think that... Rhea... Right, yeah. But I really think there's no way that Rhea loses this match. I think it's clearly a match to kind of put Rhea on the next level. And, you know, there was a time where Becky was probably the biggest star, not just in the women's division, but in the company a few years ago. And I
mean, when you had that iconic bloody moment at the end of Raw with her, I mean, that was like, I remember watching that live and just being like, oh, that's a star-making moment, like right there before my very eyes.
Yeah, and it was incredible. Like, that's something, and it sucks to say, because this really is Rhea's time and she should be winning, and I think that's the direction they're going to go. But I, as a Becky fan, I would love this year win, because she's finally starting to build back some of the momentum that she lost when they went through that whole big time Bex thing that I thought was just a huge mistake.
Stupid.
But yeah, overall, despite how I personally feel, I think there's no way Rhea's losing this.
Becky's the right opponent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Becky's the right choice for the opponent. But I agree. I just think Rhea is going to continue to capitalize. But I also, I feel confident that match is going to be fire. Like, I do. Like, it's, they're so killer.
Yeah. And aside from all of her, like, she's a mom, and like, Lynch is basically bulletproof at this point.
Yeah.
So it's a really great opportunity for Rhea to, after her defeat of Charlotte Flair in 39, to defeat another one of the four horsewomen and just keep knocking them down off the list. Like, that's a really good way to put, like, the women's belt on the right women's champion, by just knocking out all the other champions, but not making it like she's defeating the four horsewomen. Like that's, I feel like, the direction they're going to go with Rhea.
That's a good take. Mm. Absolutely.
I know, that's why I said it.
Yeah, Rhea, you so wild. Wow. Rhea's on her... No pun intended, but my friend Rhea is on her Roman reign right now.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a hot minute before she loses that title. Yes, Becky, her and Becky are gonna go crazy, and Becky's gonna do what the hell she does best, put on a big show. Rhea's gonna do what she does best, put on a big show. I mean, if we really getting down to the nitty gritty of it, at this point in both of their careers, neither one of these ladies really need a belt to validate who they are. So now, what if this is the start of something new? Hey, remember back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, when like you'll see a title get passed back and forth between the same two people quite a few times?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I see this in Becky and Rhea's future. Maybe Becky does win the belt.
Maybe in an
official rematch clause sooner than later, not even somewhere down the road. It could be a couple of Monday Night Raws from now. Maybe Rhea retains. Then maybe they do it again at a pay-per-view. And then this could literally turn into like a whole series right now. They could essentially be the Trish Stratus versus Lita for 2024.
That could be fun.
I think it'd be a lot of fun. Hell yeah.
I think that could be fun as long as it doesn't like spread through the company where they do that with more than one. Like they have to pick one title and like one pair
and just do that with.
And just
it's going to be them two, and it's going to be the Women's World Championship because Rhea has gotten to the point where she has made that belt important. Like Seth has gotten to the point where he has made the world title important. So it's she's made that belt mean something. So anybody, you know, it ain't just anybody just gonna be carrying that. It's got only them two.
Well, I'm so sorry to have like literally popped in for 5 minutes and then leave. Happy WrestleMania weekend, everybody. I have to go. But what a lovely brief joy to talk wrestling.
Well, Kyle, real quick.
I feel like you just R-truthed me. I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to
feel. 7, goodbye.
Well, wait, Kyle, before you go, real quick, just tell me, of the 13 matches, do you have a one you're most excited for?
I mean, this is going to be crazy, but it's only because Kevin Owens is literally always my dude. I'm really excited for that triple threat. Logan Paul really always brings it. Randy Orton is the anchor a lot of times. Even when I don't like him, he is just either the ring general or the anchor, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Owens, I don't see him coming out with a title, but I just want him to keep having great matches and just doing seemingly what he loves. And I'm excited to see him in that realm. So that triple threat on night two is going to be is something I'm really excited about. Admittedly, I am pretty excited about the Bloodline versus Cody and Seth. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what else to say. It was not on my bingo card. I'm just stoked to see how that rolls out. Even if it's not a great match, I don't care. I don't care. But that is mine. I'm excited to hear what everybody else's is. I'm sorry I can't hang for it, but enjoy the best weekend of the year.
All right. Salute. And we'll get back to the match that Kyle was talking about, both of the matches, in a bit. We were talking about, G1 was talking about Rhea having a huge title reign. Let's jump to another person who's got a record-breaking title reign right now, which is, of course, the Gunther versus Sami Zayn match, which until this minute, I didn't know that that was a match happening. That's how out of the loop I am. And I think this is Mike Aaron pick for the match I'm most excited about.
Man, you got to expect this to go hard. I mean, yes, again, we're in an era of championships being important and not these fly-by-night-ass reigns. Yes, Gunther has been the reigning, defending Intercontinental Championship, and I love just that faction, the leader of that particular faction holding that particular title. It looks like a Imperium title around his waist. So it's that vibe. And Sammy is the right type of underdog, but he's an over underdog though. So he can't even he's been the over underdog for quite some time. So it's tough to say. This one, I can't even really call it. I can't say which one of them will win this match. It could be just Gunther just, you know, standing his ground and doing his stuff, Dizzle and Sammy giving him everything that he has. Or they could really be like, you know, like I call it a Triple H audible. Like, he could really, man, give Sammy that title. At this point, he deserved it. So it's for me, it could go either way. I would dig seeing Gunther retain it. I wouldn't be mad at that. But then if Sammy win, what? Come on, man. It's necessary.
I feel like even 5 years ago, this would have been the 15-second squash match that Vince just puts in the middle of the show to ruin
Mania. not on the Triple H WWE. No. Fire. That's what we're expecting. Like, a lot of these matches that under a Vince McMahon WrestleMania would be crowded. Another match I'm really excited about. I ain't gonna get too much into it, but LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
We're gonna get
that match. They finna just let them fly loose on that.
All right.
They got history, you know. So it is what it is. Let's get it.
Wouldn't it be great, Joshua, though, if it was like a two-minute match and then like Gable comes out? Like they actually do make it kind of a squash match because of how he got floored on Raw.
Right. No. See, that's
like,
why
we're going to do old booking, but we're going to do it for a story. Like, don't worry. We got it.
Right. Yeah. But WrestleMania, like whenever they try to do those like quote unquote story matches at Mania, yeah. Someone loses in like 10 seconds. It's so bad. It always backfires. Like when, yeah, of course, the famous Daniel Bryan example, like, just completely blew up in their face. But if you had asked me like 3 weeks ago, I would, as soon as this match got signed, I would have said Sammy. Like Gunther's had the title so long, it feels like a nice feel good moment after Sammy had that high with the Bloodline, only for it to kind of go nowhere and kind of flounder a little bit. Mm-hmm. But because of the backlash with Gable, and I think personally, I think the storytelling makes a better story if Gable's the one who ultimately does it.
Yeah.
So because of that, and just to kind of ape a little bit on what we were just talking about with Rhea, like WWE, like subtlety's never been their strong suit. And to me, it's pretty clear. To me, it's pretty clear that right now they're trying to define this particular generation as the greatest generation of all time. Because you have Gunther breaking records. I think Rhea is going to keep the title and eventually break some kind of record for like title length. Of course, Roman. And the Usos broke the tag team title record. So I think this is a good opportunity for them to keep bolstering Gunther and give him a big WrestleMania win, only to like kind of kick the can down the road and give the belt to Gable eventually. I think
I agree with you.
Ultimately, I'll go with Gunther.
Yeah, it's if Gable wasn't in the picture, I would have said Sami Zayn. But like, you can't. I feel like that you shouldn't have Sami take the title because that would ruin the whole Gunther build, like the Gable buildup that they're doing. Because it would like kind of render it meaningless if Sami takes the title story wise after this whole buildup. And it might be interesting if Gable like turns on Sami in the middle of the match storyline wise, like he's just gonna try to like mentor him up or whatever, but like we never know what's gonna happen. That would also be really, really great because like aside from Paul Heyman, there hasn't been, from in my opinion, like a really boss ass manager for a very long time. Like the manager valet having an actual like impact on the story in one of these major pay-per-views. And it would be really nice to have that back, like that kind of like, let's bring back managers and valets, everybody.
And I feel like that's the thing that Sammy is incredibly good at, is that like, I can't think of another wrestler in the 10 or 15 years that I've watched wrestling, either super dedicatedly or just, you know, the occasional pay-per-view here and there, where it's like, it doesn't matter what terrible concept or storyline you give that man, he somehow spins it into gold, like time and time again, which I think is the perfect type of skill set you need for someone who's like an iconic manager as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that Sammy, when he gets to the point where his body is just fully rejecting his ability to go and do the things that he does, like, you know, hopefully not for a very long time, but you never know. Mm-mm. I mean, that is a primo spot for him, is just being that very charismatic, memorable manager that like you either love, you're like, oh, he's a Sammy guy, like I love a Sammy guy, or you just like kind of love to hate. Like he can do, because I never in a million years thought that Sammy could be a heel, and then he proved time and time again, like, oh yeah, he's also a really effective heel. Like,
I mean, the other cool thing, if Sammy ever did become a manager, it's like, well, you'll never be as good as I was.
Yeah.
And like a heel manager to the person that they're mentoring. So like, you know, if you have somebody who idolized Sami Zayn and Sami Zayn gets to manage them, and then you get this like great, like everyone loves Sammy and you know how good he was, but it's still like the PE coach that, you know, never made it type of vibe. I mean, right, he did make it. It would be great.
I'm in fantasy booking mode, like imagining his like whoever he's managing is about to like win the world title, but then he screws his own guy because he never won it. And it's like,
hey, I want
he could go full Triple H on them.
I want to do ringside commentary for whatever wrestling promotion she owns, because she has a great imagination.
Right.
She really does.
I'd work for you.
All right. Well, let's move on to the 6-pack tag team ladder match.
Oh, Jesus.
And this is between the Judgment Day, everybody. DIY, everybody. The Awesome Truth, The New Day, the A-Town Down Under, and the New Catch Republic. A lot of options here. Obviously,
I want R-Truth to win both titles. I don't, but like by accident. Like he walked out of the ring with like the Raw title and he thinks it's over already. And then like,
oh, that's hilarious.
So funny.
My bad.
How do we feel about this comment? I don't think I agree, actually, but it says Sammy doesn't take the title. He officially becomes an afterthought. He didn't beat Roman. He lost the tag titles. He lost his tag partner. At this point, if he doesn't get the gold, he's going to be the new Dolph Ziggler.
I think that's a good thing.
I think that
Dolph Ziggler was still dope. It's still dope.
I think the difference between Dolph Ziggler and Sammy to me, and I love both of them for different reasons.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn is just the most likable human that I've ever seen in my entire life, which like Dolph Ziggler at his peak always kind of had a bit of a like build your own wrestler kind of added, like just look to him. Where it's like he blended in with what everyone else was doing, so it made it even easier to make him the behind, like the enhancement guy. Where like Sammy has such a winning personality. Right. Like, I don't know. I mean, especially with current things going on, but like something that Bruce Pritchard says a lot back in the day on his podcast was like, winning the belt doesn't necessarily make you the star. Exactly. Like, and I think Sami Zayn is a shining example of like, he is, I mean, think of all of the iconic 80s wrestlers who never held a title belt in their entire career that are still 40 years later remembered as like an all-time great. Like Sami Zayn has that memorable personality that I do not think that he'll fall into the world of Dolph Ziggler where he's just kind of the guy you bring in when everybody else that you're pushing is injured. So you're like, we'll give Dolph a quick run until people heal up a bit.
I was going to say, you know, the Dolph Ziggler thing, I feel like too, that's a Vince thing. I don't think Triple H would kind of forget about somebody who's as over as Sammy is. And like a lot of people made the same argument last year that if Roman beat him, he would be an afterthought. And I mean, you could argue that he was in a way here and there, but he bounced back and he's into the position he's at now. And I don't doubt that he could do the same again if worst case scenario.
And especially, I mean, Sammy is such a big part of like Triple H's guys. You know what I mean? Like you think of like, if you had to like sit down and think like, who are the 10 wrestlers that Triple H probably loves more than his own children? Like
Sami Zayn, it would be Sami Zayn 9 times. It's like not even a competition, bro. Yeah. But I think that for me, I disagree with the comment, but I know I understand the fear because WWE has let people down before. We understand this.
Yes.
But I think that if Triple H is the booking of this new era post Vince and post Pritchard is going to be significant, it's the if someone is going to lose, they're going to lose for a reason. And if Sami Zayn loses tomorrow or Saturday, that we have to trust it's going to be for a reason of like, maybe it is the, you know, there, maybe they're trying to manufacture if Daniel Bryan was on purpose.
Yeah. Well,
like as opposed to it being like only the crowd wanted Daniel Bryan to go over and they were trying to push the guys that they thought would go over and the crowd made it happen. But it's like, if the crowd wants Sammy over and the company also wants Sammy over and they're all going together, then Sammy's losses are for a reason.
Well, and isn't Sammy, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm sure most of you know this better than I do. But like, again, when people talk about Sami Zayn, one of the things that they are always going to bring up is obviously NXT, how he was the superstar at NXT. He was having 5-star matches on a regular basis. I think he's still to this day the shortest title reign of the NXT men's title. You know what I mean? Like, so again, the title doesn't necessarily make the superstar. The point of Sami Zayn was he was NXT's Daniel Bryan for sure.
You know who he kind of reminds me of now? Now that the way you're talking about him, he kind of reminds me about Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Because Steamboat didn't have a big, any major, like he had titles, but they were not like long runs with the title, but he was beloved. And I think he's one of the only wrestlers to,
So, yeah, I think that Sammy's going to be okay no matter what. But, okay, so this multiple tag team craziness that's happening here. Judgment Day is the champions going into it. What's everyone feeling? Because, again, I don't even know who half these teams are. I mean, the awesome truth is pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to agree and say awesome truth just because I think it fits well with the Judgment Day storyline that R-Truth's had with them for months and months. Where he thinks people are his friends, but his real friend is like the one he's winning the belt
one next
now.
To him. And I think that if he doesn't win both titles by accident and they do split the titles again, then I think the other one is going to be DIY to win the other one. Just so that there's like a little
Triple H guys.
So there's a little bit of separation. And then it's like, you know, when you have a double title match in the same match, it's not like the good guys win all the time. It's like you can have a little bit of like back and forth between the two of them. That's why I don't really agree that it's going to be Awesome Truth and New Day. Because I feel like there has to be a little bit of like a heel sort of like baby heel sort of like one of them's going to take a title or it's going to be Awesome Truth all the way.
I'm definitely saying if Awesome Truth, if it was based on wrestling DIY, based on story, yeah, Awesome Truth all the way. We can't even deny it at this point. I think Judgment Day have held their ground with the belts long enough. And I think they're at a point where they're probably about to split up and Damian Priest is about to be the big shit on his own. So, you know, it would be time for them to lose them belts. And for story's sake, even if they don't keep it that long.
Damian still has money in the bank.
Exactly. And before the stories, particularly for WrestleMania, they may not even have it long past WrestleMania. It's definitely awesome truth for sure.
So, I mean, again, I'm coming into this with no storyline, but based just on everything everyone's saying, one thing that I always think about when it comes to the predictions is a friend of mine talking about why he loves WrestleMania so much. Mm-hmm. And the analogy he used, obviously I'm based in Philly. He goes, every year I have my local sports team lose it at some point. He goes, every once in a while, the Eagles win, or every once in a while, the Phillies win the World Series. But most of the time, as with most of the people in the world, only one team gets to win the big title at the end of it, and everyone else is disappointed. He goes, WrestleMania is beautiful because everyone gets to see the person they want win, essentially. The whole, at least at its core, the point of WrestleMania is tying up the stories, giving most of the good guys the wins, and like you get a couple of those heel wins. So of all of these matches so far, this one seems like the easiest layup of like, yeah, let's have the good guys beat the bad guys.
Absolutely. Of course.
People happy.
It's going to be hella spots. You know, it's going to be some dope spots, some dope flippy shit, some cool. We're going to see hella. It's going to be a spot fest. With Miz and R-Truth at the end of it. That's just the vibe.
So Michael E. Cook is saying that he likes the baby/heel aspect of splitting the titles, but he said, if you notice, New Day has been slowly changing into a more serious persona, which may indicate a heel turn. I don't know if the New Day will ever fully go heel again. I don't think that that's in their
future. And if they do, they won't do it at WrestleMania. I think whatever happens at WrestleMania will be the last spark toward any type of turn.
Right.
I think that's a really good comment, and it's a really good thing to say. Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. Here's a random question for everybody. Based on just how they've been treating The Rock's return and just, you know, the stuff that, you know, the rest of the board has been letting him get away with on TV and on social media, different things like that. Rumor has it that when WWE Raw goes to Netflix in 2025, that all of this may be signaling the end of the PG era and onto a program, into a platform where they could be a little bit more liberal. Do y'all really feel like that's kind of the goal here, is to let you
1,050 million percent on target.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, okay. I'm kind of like 50-50, because I don't know. I feel like I don't know what label's being used, but I feel like we've kind of been out of the PG era for a while now. And the reason why I think that is because, to me, the PG era was not just that they weren't able to show blood and stuff, but the promos are so corny, and you had like all these weird advertisements, and just the whole product was around kind of more around advertisement and trying to make advertisers happy.
Do you mean like last year where there was a blood match happening while a man was dressed like a smiling emoji Cinnamon Toast Crunch piece?
Oh my God.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah. I barely remember what happened in that match, because the whole time everyone in my basement was like, why is he out there on the side of the ring?
The one little piece of sponsorship BS that I did love, and people could feel a certain way about this, and at the end of the day, unfortunately, it was one of his last match, or was it his last match, I believe. Bray Wyatt,
the
Mountain Dew Lights Out match. I actually thought that was fire, and I was like, yo, there needs to be more matches like this. I like this dark shit. This is just super cool. I personally thought it was all like, yo, can we get another Mountain Dew Cold Black match? or can we just get like a fucking fluorescent match? I don't know what to call it.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Just saying. I just think a glow stick match. I just think
the neon
fire,
team.
Like,
neon
the
team.
Neon match. Yeah.
Go down the whole list. We need a like major melee match.
That would be badass. Naomi just neoning the
Baja Blast. I want the Baja Blast match.
The Baja Blast match.
Let's get the glow match. That's the Naomi glow match. We did it. Yep. Let the ladies
be the best.
It'd be even hotter if the ladies do it personally. That's just, you know.
What is that jerky that
women
Macho
under
Man
black light?
What is that called again?
Slim Jim.
Oh, Slim Jim.
Slim Jim. We could have a Slim Jim match where they like instead of.
All right, you lost me with the Slim Jims. We was doing something.
Man, Slim Jim.
Hey, there's plenty of undercard people. We could have a 5-minute squash match with a Slim Jim.
There was one year for a wrestling party, I saw a box of like 100 Slim Jims, and I'm like, what a perfect thing to bring to this party. Let me tell you what, man.
No.
Slim Jims do not live up to my memory of what a Slim Jim tastes like.
No, bro.
That was torturous to have in my house until they were gone. All right. So it seems like everyone's pretty much on board. Definitely Awesome Truth. Maybe DIY, but that's where everyone's leaning. How about we talk about a brother versus brother match, or shall I say an Oos versus Oos match? We've got Jay and Jimmy Oos. Uso going against each other in a singles match. I know, G1, you said you were pretty stoked about this. Where are you leaning on this one? Who's taking it?
Uh-oh.
He's turned off his mic and muted himself. So
oh, no!
All right, well, we'll jump to Josh while we wait for G1 to get back up and running.
All right, so I'll have a few things to say about this match. I mean, in terms of who I think is going to win, I think there's no way Jay doesn't. Like, Jay is like the one who's like super, super pushed as a singles wrestler at this point, while Jimmy is kind of just like the bloodline lackey who interferes in Jay's matches every couple months to make sure that the feud could carry on. But there's something about this feud. I'm happy for them personally, because I know it's been their dream to like have a one-on-one match at WrestleMania against each other. They've talked about that for years, and you know, this is the way they got to it. But I feel like this particular story is a big reason why I kind of checked out of WWE. And the reason is because like, there's been so many twists and turns with the Bloodline story, but the Bloodline started with Jay turning against Roman and then him eventually being forced to like fall in line. And then so when Jimmy first came back from his injury, he like hated Roman, because of course like Jimmy was like held hostage essentially so that Jay would quit in those I Quit matches back in the early Bloodline days, because Jimmy was hurt at the time, which is the whole reason why Jay was wrestling by himself. So when Jimmy first came back from his injury, like he hated Roman, but he just joined the Bloodline reluctantly because Jay's Stockholm syndrome was so bad at that point that he wouldn't leave. And the only way that Jimmy could stay with Jay was if he also joined the Bloodline, but he was like hesitant towards Roman. He didn't like him anymore. He didn't trust him. And then fast forward to when Jay turned on him. And it was like, Jimmy just came back and double crossed Jay, and they were really weird about the reasoning. They were like, sometimes they would say like Jay, he didn't want Jay to get to a position above him, and then other times he was like, which still doesn't explain why he went back to Roman. It was just,
right,
I don't know, it was just so Jimmy's portion of it and them putting him back with the Bloodline was just so sloppy, because his only reason to be with the Bloodline to begin with was to be at his brother's side. His brother broke free of their control and then he just went back to them anyway, and it's not
right,
and it's not even like they treat him well, they like treat him as like the fall guy ever since he came back. So it's just, I don't know, this storyline bugs me, but I agree that Jay, I really think Jay's winning it.
Yeah, we get the payoff of Uso versus Uso. Yeah, it was weird how they set everything up, but I ain't gonna lie, this is a match I've been wanting to see on this stage for quite some time. I've been watching both of these guys, you know, like pretty much their whole career, and I always said, would it be crazy is to really see them go against each other. Obviously, they did it maybe once or twice before when it wasn't important. This time it's important. This time they've came a long way. They've leveled all the way up, and this time it's different. Uso versus Uso match in 2024 is not the same as the Uso versus Uso match in 2016. It's going to be way different.
Well, the other thing, I mean, like you kind of said in an indirect way too, I think an Uso versus Uso match in 2016 or even 2020 or even 2022 would not be happening at WrestleMania. That would
be
some like unimportant match. It'd be like one of those pay-per-views where you're just like, I don't know what the hell Roadblock is. Sure, I guess the Usos are, wrestling each other. Sure, I'll tune in, I guess.
And there would be some weird stipulation.
Yeah, and they make it feel like it was building to a Mania match, and then it would just immediately get dropped after that pay-per-view.
Right. Keep going.
Oh, no, ladies first. Forget
me. Oh, thank you. If it was any other year, like in the past 5 years of booking, I would say Jimmy wins, just to give the Bloodline momentum into the second night, because usually that's what they do, is the heels win the first night and the babies win the second night. Mm-hmm. But I think this match connects more to Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth. So if Jay wins, it might be by interference from Solo Sikoa as a revenge for SummerSlam. So if he is taken out, he can't help Cody or Seth if there's interference in Rock and Roman. You know what I mean? So it's like, is it more important story-wise? Like, that's the more, like, fun booking angle for me. Of, like, Jay will probably win, but it's going to take him out, in a sense.
And again,
and maybe he'll come back the next night in the big night. And, like, he'll be all, like, bandaged up and, like, still try. And, like, you know, there could be so many possibilities.
There's a reason why Kate is working on a podcast about script writing. Clearly,
because Kate's a fucking genius. Clearly,
I could be totally wrong, but if I'm not wrong, WWE, well, that's the worst. I applied to be a writer for your writer's gig. Kidding. So,
I say hire her and hire me so I can learn from her. But go ahead.
We'll team up, man.
Yeah. This is G1 and G2. Part, though, I've learned a long time. This is the worst part of fantasy booking, is when you have an idea that's so good that you trick yourself into being like, oh, this is definitely what's going to happen. It doesn't happen. You're like, what are they doing?
No, G1's going to give me text messages all Saturday night going like, God damn it.
All right. Let's move over to the other match that G1 was talking about. A lot of excitement. We got Bianca, Jade, Naomi versus Damage Control. Where do we see this going? What do we see happening?
Where do we see this going?
This is set up to Jade.
Ninja Turtles, right? You know how like they always beat the Foot Clan. You watch Power Rangers, right? You know how they always beat the Foot Soldiers, whether it's the Putties, the Calls, whatever. Listen, look here. You got Wonder Woman, Storm, and the Black Captain Marvel.
It's Black Girl Magic versus Damage Control.
It is Black Girl Magic. It is Black Girl Dominance. It is Black Girl Mad Damage. It is Black Girl OP. It is everything. I love Damage Control, and blessings to all them sisters. I think they dope as hell too. But man, please.
Damage Control has been needing a comeuppance for like.
Damage Control is about to get damaged.
Right. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way Damage Control wins this.
Okay, I'm waiting for Josh. Josh's gonna be the one person to agree.
No.
I mean, like, there's no way that Jade's gonna lose. Like, as much as they've been hyping her up, like, no way.
No. I just, the only question is, who of the three women is going to look the best? like, what is Jade's outfit going to be?
That's tough.
That's the only.
That's tough.
That's the other thing I forgot about, man. People go all out on their ring attire for Mania. This is going to be wild.
Just because Bianca makes her own shit, I still feel like she definitely finished up both of them down. But I'm not going to take nothing away from Jade and Naomi. They do their thing. But
I can just imagine, like, cosplay, like the night before a con, and, like, Jade's, like, knocking on the door of her, like, Bianca's like, yo, do you have a sewing machine? Can you fix this shit?
Hold on. What if Bianca just made all their costumes and just like, hey, girls?
If they all came out as X-Men, like, I would die. Fucking real.
All right, well, that's not what I'm
hoping. Time to do it, too.
it's possible. It's
celebration of 97.
If they all come out as X-Men, I'm texting you, G1, and it's just like they're winning. Like, there's no even. It's like they're going to win in 5 seconds. It's a squash match.
Oh, yeah.
Jade Cargill on the freaking ring post going, I am mistress of the elements. Like, let's go.
All right, we move into the next match. We got another tag match between the Latino World Order and Escobar and Mysterio. Are we seeing Dominic beating his dad? Dad getting a win over Dominic. What's happening here?
Oh, Santos Escobar and Dominic are going to wipe the floor.
Dominic gets over.
Yeah, Dominic has to get
over. He's, all right, so Josh, I'll be the spoiler on this one because they seem to be setting up the split between Rhea and Dom, and he was stepping it, like, overstepping recently, like offering Santos Escobar a spot in Judgment Day and stuff. So it's like, I feel like they lose, Rhea wins, and then she's like, you know, you're talking all this mess and trying to take control of the group or call your own shots, and yet you couldn't even win your match, kind of thing. And I think that's going to feed into the breakup of Judgment Day.
Yep.
Ooh, and that would be interesting.
And then we get a run in from Buddy Matthews from AEW to come beat up Dom and officially kick him out the Judgment Day, kiss his wife, and then go back. I mean, his fiance, and then go back to AEW.
I would agree with that, except for, and I might be a little biased here because I'm such an Escobar fan. His heel turn and his heel run his heel work is so wonderful and so grounded that I feel like to toss. I feel like Ray would want to put his son over before he retires. And I also feel like to abandon this heel run as Santos and his stable is taking off. Like, I feel like that would be really weird booking for WrestleMania. And it fits with the night one, like, heels win first sort of deal.
And they're going to run it back anyway, because they can run it back in a one-on-one. All right. So
yeah.
Dominic and Santos win this, but then they could run it back, because ain't Dragon Lee teaming with Ray for this representing LWO? Right.
Yes.
So to continue to put Dragon Lee over, because he's been on fire lately, book a solo match. Then the next night is him versus Santos on SmackDown in a one-on-one. And then Dragon Lee wins that match. And then just create, you know, that's how you, but at the pay-per-view, it's heel time like a mug. Dominic Mysterio gets his big tag team win over Pops, definitely. Hell yeah. I think he's earned it.
But I do like thinking about, like, oh yeah, that leads into a Judgment Day thingy thing. So I'll keep that in mind when I watch it. Split. Despite
I like when there's division. I like when there's division amongst the panelists. The final
sounds
match,
like Triple H to me.
The final match of night one.
Priest will be the next hot baby face. like where Adam Copeland is now in AEW. Like, Damian Priest, I feel like would take that edge spot as that solo dude that's just this rock star and is just putting on the greatest matches with everybody. He's already capable of everything at his size. So, like, yeah, he the next hot baby face, man. He can do it on his own. He ain't gonna need Judgment Day for too much longer. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
All right. So the final match of night one, we got the Bloodline, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins.
Oh, did I miss there's... y'all talking about Knight and Styles? Because I had to
come. Knight and Styles. Oh,
I think that's part two.
It's night two.
Night two, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so there's a stipulation attached to this one. So if Rhodes and Reigns, or if Rhodes and Rollins win, all the members of the Bloodline will be barred from the ringside during the match on night two. But if Rock and Reigns win, the championship match on night two will be held under Bloodline rules. So,
man, they're going to put, you know, they can't
put that out there and not do it.
Right.
It's got to be that, right? It's got to be the Bloodline wins to give Cody's win over Roman Reigns all the more glory when it happens.
The Rock has been
trained. It wouldn't surprise me if after they lose, Seth turns on Cody.
Oh, just to stack it on?
Right. Just because.
I lost for Cody, you.
Yeah.
The Rock said on Jimmy Fallon that he has been training for the last 3 months. They made a whole compound with multiple rings, and it was supervised by Michael Hayes, and they're putting, and they were doing like mock.
I bet it was supervised by Michael Hayes.
Right. They were putting on mock tag matches with Gallus. So they were helping Rock. So Rock's been in ring conditioning for 3 months. Like, yeah, he gonna remind people that, yo, like in my early 50s, like it's still finna be that. I'm still that dude. We gonna beat the hell out of Cody and them. And we're gonna make it hard for Cody to win on night two, because he's definitely winning. It just ain't gonna be easy.
Right.
we can only hope, my buddy Eric Germ saying, by God, that's Rikishi's music. It's too cool.
Unfortunately, one half of Too Cool is no longer here, so it would have to be Rikishi and Scott Taylor, you know.
Yeah. All right, so we ran down night one. Of the night one card, quick round table, what's the match you're most stoked for of those seven matches?
The main event for me, like I was saying at the beginning, The Rock's like the biggest reason I'm excited for the show, so it's got to be The Rock's match.
All right. Kate?
Probably Santos and Dominic.
Okay. G1?
Or Gunther.
Man, the power buff girls.
That's the name.
That's it.
Versus Control. And outside of that, I mean, what would WWE be if every once in a while we didn't get a Rock in ring appearance? I always look forward to seeing him in a match. I remember I was upset when they did that squash when he fought Eric Rowan back when they had the old Wyatt family thing. And all he did was give him a rock bottom and pin him. I'm like, man, Rock's supposed to be smacking folks and spit smacking and stomping. I didn't get none of this. I didn't even get the build up to the rock bottom where he does the little, you know what I'm saying? Like, no. Give me full match. If you're going to bring Rock back in the match, give me full match. Make it work. I want to see Rock in the match. So equally as excited about, like you said, the night one main event.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm sure you said some amazing shit, but I stopped paying attention after Powerpuff Girls. And I don't think I fully recovered.
All right.
Somebody put that on a shirt. Graphic.
Yeah, seriously, G1. Matt Mania shop, you need a Powerbuff Girls.
We need a Powerbuff Girls shirt.
We got to figure out who we got to figure out, because somebody literally did a graphic on social media that Jade had reshared. So maybe if whoever that is, if you're watching this, if you could kindly share that graphic with us, we'd be happy to print some t-shirts. That was a great idea on your part.
I will print it tomorrow.
I think it was fire.
Oh my God.
I can't take credit for it, but I think it was dope.
Moving on to night two. Again, this is not necessarily in the order. It's just the order Wikipedia has given me. We got Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the heavyweight championship. Does Seth continue to retain, or does Drew take it?
Drew
takes it.
Drew takes it. You think it plays into night one also.
No, but it's going to ultimately for his, be like, Damian weird Priest.
COVID title reign.
No, I think he's going to take it, and then Damian Priest going to cash in. We haven't had, yeah.
Or what if Drew takes it, Damian Priest cashes in, and then CM Punk to send a message comes out there and gives Damian Priest the GTS? Yeah. I don't know. That could be a possibility. He did say he was going to be there in what capacity, you know, whatever.
Isn't he a guest commentator?
Yeah, but yeah. Man, he gonna come on. I think he's healed up already, and I think he gonna fuck around, hit somebody with a GTS and take that brace off. So
yeah. I feel like there's no way.
This is Drew's initial win, but yeah.
Yeah. There's no way that Punk doesn't get involved. And I think at one, it's a good opportunity to kind of reestablish the Punk Seth feud if he, whether on purpose or by accident, hurts Seth's chances of winning. Also, I think it'll probably play into the result of night one, where Seth will probably be coming in hurt, and then he could have his big valiant babyface comeback, only for Punk to screw him over and lead to Drew winning the belt.
All right. So that was across the board. Everyone was for Drew. We have Sky versus Bayley here for the women's championship. Now I'm out of the loop. Is Bayley still a heel? Is Bayley back to being like
Bayley's back babyface? So all right. So the damage control story is basically that the rest of the ladies kicked Bayley out of damage control probably around the time Kairi Sane came back.
Okay.
That's kind of what happened initially. So Dakota Kai came back off an injury and they all turned on her. So Bayley is a new version of her babyface self. And she at this point could do her championship run again. It'll be time to see Bayley. Bayley has done so much. she deserves a belt at this point. I think it's time. EO did her thing, but it's hard to really carry the story of a championship when you're in a faction and you're not like she shines as a champion on her own. Talking about EO Sky, she shines like a champion on her own, but just her as a champion with the rest of damage control, it don't hit the same as like a Roman Reigns with the rest of the bloodline. You can tell he's the main heat of the main guy, whatever. With EO, she gets swallowed up in a lot of that when she's not on her own defending that belt. So Bayley at this point being a one of one and having to come up out of there, it's her time again. She's taking that belt.
I mean, as someone who's out of the loop, but just looking at who damage control is, like the people who are in it, to me, my mind would just be like, well, clearly Asuka's the Roman Reigns of that faction in my mind. It's the established name.
That's accurate.
Now, yes, to piggyback off of what you're saying, my statement would be completely different if Asuka was the champion. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah, I think you need the champion to also be the leader of that faction. When it's just like this hide person in the faction, it's very weird.
That's the thing too, because like I think the way they're being presented now, technically EO's the like leader, quote unquote. But this entire time this group's existed, Bayley's the leader. So I think that's really swallowed up EO's presence as champion because the entire time. And that's the thing too. This is another storyline that I feels like a little weird because, like, I know Matt, you didn't know who was the babyface and the heel in the beginning of us talking about this. And a big part of the reason is on paper, like damage control kind of hasn't really done anything wrong. Like, because when you think about it, Bayley created the group to boost herself up. She's shown jealousy towards EO the entire time she's been champion. The catalyst of them turning on her was Kairi coming back. But when Kairi came back, they acknowledged that when Kairi left because Bayley in kayfabe beat her so bad that she couldn't return until now. Right. So it's like it's basically all of these. Like it's basically all comeuppance for everything heel Bayley's done for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But just because they're both heels, it's just like Bayley's babyface by default because she's the one who got turned on.
And also, kind of, and Bayley keeps attacking people like EO will be giving an interview and like Bayley will swoop in. I'm like, that's a heel move, bro. Like
she's trying to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, they stay, you know, not close by while she got to go ahead and win this belt. She wants them to be banged up so ain't no bunch of run-ins and shit like that. Mm. So
Right. The only reason I say Bayley is just because it would be really weird to have Bayley win the Royal Rumble and then not have that follow through in some way.
Yeah, and then Bayley's been Bayley's been on the back burner so long. I feel like this is almost like a thank you match and thank you reign, where they're like, we're recognizing, you know, all the work you've put in all this time, and so we're going to give you this big WrestleMania moment. So I really, and like we've been saying, Io has been in a, it's not her fault, but she's been in a position where she hasn't been able to really stand out as champion. And I think switching the title gives it kind of a refresh that it needs in that division.
That's fair.
Legit.
That's exactly what I was, you said everything I was thinking. Yes,
all right, so this next match, fun fact, one of my coworkers is former coworkers is going to Mania. Didn't know he was even a wrestling fan. Like, we would talk wrestling every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But he said, I had to go and cheer on my man, LA Knight. It's the LA Knight versus AJ Styles match. Apparently, I guess LA Knight has been making enough moves that a very half-in, half-out wrestling watcher has put all of his bank down on buying a ticket to go to Mania to see him wrestle. So what is happening in the world of LA Knight right now, apparently?
He's a mega star. It's his game. I said in a rap line, I give you a little early teaser of something that myself, T. Call, and Mega Ran are working on. I said in a rap line, Juggernaut through the wall is how we all came here. LA Knights at the Forum because it's our game. Yeah, like that. Nah. Definitely. LA Knight versus AJ Styles is a WWE/Impact Wrestling match. Because this would be Eli Drake versus AJ Styles. They were in the company around the same time. So I believe they fought before, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they did.
So now we're getting to see basically Eli Drake versus AJ versus Dark AJ Styles, which he did during that time in TNA also at WrestleMania. What? Come on, man.
Yeah, these guys can't put on a bad match. So, like, this is the only match where I don't really care who wins, because the storytelling is going to be just, like,
well, the winners badass. Are the viewers, right? The audience is who wins at this
AJ match. Styles, we win. I win. AJ Styles is one of my favorites. AJ Styles got me into WWE because I watched him in New Japan on Wrestle Kingdom. Yep. I have the I Am Phenomenal t-shirt that I'm going to wear night, too.
That's hard.
And I love him so much. And I'm so glad that John Cena was willing to take, and like they're starting to let him do Styles Clash again. Because it's like badass finisher. But like no one really wanted to take it until like Cena was willing to like do it.
I'll tell you how far back I go with AJ. 2001, the final days of WCW, back when they had a cruiserweight tag team division. It was the team of Air Raid. It was Air Styles and Air Paris.
I've been rewatching some of his old matches in Ring of Honor.
The TNA stuff with him and Chris Daniels, like they were the RVD and Jerry Lynn of TNA in the mid 2000s. Him and Chris Daniels, him and Chris, so many casts. Like I just anyway, dude. I can talk
Everybody
about
go back and watch. Like, if you're ever bored, just go watch all the AJ Styles matches.
I think both Chris Daniels and AJ Styles are like the first two TNA DVDs I ever bought. I've been riding with AJ for a while, but as long as I've been riding with AJ, I have like a personal attachment to LA Knight. He was like at my local indie like 12 years ago. He was managed by Paul Bearer at the time, which is crazy. I was able to like talk to him. He's always a really nice dude. He put on great matches. His character is pretty much exactly the same, which is funny. Yeah. Like it's funny to see him doing it in front of like 10,000 people as opposed to doing it to like the 20 people in the TV studio.
And that just, and to piggyback off that lets you know who don't really be paying attention to wrestling, because then he gets to WWE. Well, he finally gets to the main roster and they take him out of that when they tried to make him the model manager.
Max Dupree.
And they just let him be him with the new name. They try to go with the whole, oh, he's imitating The Rock, oh, he's imitating. Y'all don't know how long he's been that. y'all wasn't watching nothing else. If you're just a WWE fan, say you're just a WWE fan, but don't shit on LA Knight because he has a certain type of charisma that may have been inspired by an era that we all love. It's gotten him there.
Yeah.
So what do you think? So what do you think was going to happen?
Right. I mean, one of the most famous wrestlers of all time, it was got his nickname from a different Nature Boy. So it's not like, that's like a death.
For me, I can't wait for the future match of Logan Paul versus LA Knight. Like the two ways they get into wrestling. It's like LA Knight has ground into the ground. Like he's pounded the pavement. He's earned his dues. He's done the indie wrestling thing. And he's a true like indie wrestling boy. And he's grown up in the ranks. And to face someone like Logan Paul, I think in a future match, like that will be a really, really great feud in terms of just like, you just got here. And you think, you know, yes, you're a title holder and yes, you're a winner, but like, have you won over them?
Yeah.
Have you ever, have you won over the fans? Cause I did. That's how I made it.
That's what I thought they were going to do for Mania, which is why it surprised me when he didn't win that like six pack challenge or whatever, or the Elimination Chamber or whatever it was that set up the US title match. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that should be the direction, which I guess spoiler for our prediction later, but but for now, I think that LA Knight takes the match with AJ to build on his momentum towards 100%. His first title.
Definitely LA Knight, and the piggyback off of what the lady was saying. Like these are two very celebrated indie wrestlers, and now we're in an era where they really get to let the dogs loose. I'm sure Triple H will holler at them before they go out there and just be like, "Hey, for the love of God, don't kill each other." But whatever y'all do and whatever y'all know y'all do best, don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah.
Like I know what's about to happen between them two at WrestleMania. I felt the same way about who was it at the pay-per-view? It was at the AEW, Takeshita and Will Ospreay at the AEW Revolution. I felt the same way about that. Like, this is going to be a solid wrestling match. This is how I feel about LA Knight and AJ Styles. They're going to go crazy.
Nice. Yeah, I agree.
My very quick AJ Styles match is that I think I saw him wrestle his last indie show match before he appeared at the Royal Rumble.
Wow.
It was like a week before the Royal Rumble. He was part of the Chikara King of Trios weekend.
That's nuts.
It was him and the Young Bucks were the team that won it all. It was them versus Team Lucha Underground.
Yes!
Did they do a thank you, AJ, at the end?
They did, but the best part was the first night. The first night of... So the King of Trios... event that Chikara used to do was a three-night event of just trios matches, elimination style, until you got to the final one. And on the very first night, AJ Styles jumped on the top rope and immediately slipped and fell and looked at the crowd and said, "I don't do lucha ropes." And that became a storyline the whole weekend, was that he would only do stuff off the middle ropes.
The because rest he didn't of the do weekend. Lucha. Oh, that's funny.
And then for the main event, when he was up against the Lucha Underground guys, the whole crowd was like, "Top rope AJ," like just chanting for him. So his finisher was that he finally got back on the top rope and did a move off there. But the big story of that is my buddy Juan was wearing a Bailey I'm a Hugger shirt, and he walked up to tell AJ Styles how much he's loved him all these years, and AJ just pointed at the shirt and said, "Is that true?" And Juan said, "Do you want it to be?" And he said, "You better prove it, sir." And he gave him a big hug. And a weekend later, he was premiering at the Rumble, and Juan was screaming.
I thought you were going to say, "You better prove it and buy my shirt."
Yeah. Hey, just gave him a free hug.
That's basically what he was telling them, probably. Like, charge. "Hey, prove it, because you're finna see something crazy in a minute. So when you see it, just know my shirt will be on WWEshop.com.
It's going to be a lot more expensive next week.
The moment when AJ Styles debuted at the Royal Rumble, I was a married man at the time, and I just remember being at our place in Tempe, and I remember I was laying on the bed, flat, TV in front of me, watching the Rumble. When I tell you that when I seen the graphic on the screen say "I am phenomenal," there's only one person in wrestling not the Phenom, not Undertaker, but there's only one person in wrestling that has ever labeled himself phenomenal. When I tell you I jumped off that bed somehow in I leaped off the bed in horizontal position, you know, like how dogs jump, right?
Yeah.
I swear to God. if for whatever reason you ever meet my ex-wife Amy, she'll tell you this, like literally, because she was tricky. I'm like, nah, no fucking way. And then my man came around the corner. I'm like, oh shit. Nah, man.
The worst camera setups of wrestling history was that AJ Styles debut.
I know, right?
What does Roman think about this?
Right. We just gonna keep it on Roman's face to get this thought process. Like, man, if y'all don't show that damn Titan drawing, stop playing.
All right. Well, you were talking about what you hope happens with LA Knight. Let's see how things go in the triple threat match. Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. This was Kyle during his brief couple minutes on here. His pick of the match of the weekend. What do you guys see? Is everyone leaning towards a Logan Paul win?
Logan Paul keeps the belt, definitely. There are going to be many RKOs thrown. There are going to be many stunners thrown. There might even be some flip clotheslines and splashes, because not to take anything away from Logan Paul, he's dope as hell. But, Logan's keeping it. He's the Weasley heel that's continuing to make the U.S. title relevant, because he came in as a person that nobody really thought they could do it. And every fucking pay-per-view, he kills it. You have no choice but to like his ass. You may not like his drink. You may not like his antics on social media, but you have no choice but to like that man in the ring. He's something else.
I think the most common thing I hear wrestling fans say is,
I hate Logan Paul.
God damn it, I hate how good Logan Paul is.
Right, I hate that.
Everybody wanted him to be terrible.
Him and Bad Bunny on the celebrity side, they got that shit.
Yeah. No, I agree, though. I think he's winning. I think essentially KO and Orton are taking each other out. Logan's gonna like slip on a banana peel and win it while bragging that he beat two legends or like two people,
of course,
two former champions and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, I'll be that hater, though. I'm not gonna give him any credit. I hate that guy, and not for anything that has to do with wrestling, obviously, and not even because he's obnoxious on social media, but just some of the controversies that have popped up that we won't get into. But it's like, I'm probably Orton's one of my favorites of all time. KO is one of my current favorites. I'm honestly probably just gonna go like make food or something while that match is going.
you're having a protest walk away at that moment.
I mean it's a 5-hour show. I have to eat sometime.
That is true. That is
why
fair.
Not be that match.
I've heard some things through the grapevine, but I don't know enough about Logan Paul to be honest. My introduction to Logan Paul was the hype around him coming to WWE, and then when I would ask like my nephews, and they would be talking about like just him diving into random sports, and I'm like, I know nothing about him. I'm not part of the viral, that ain't really my thing. So, but he's dope, you know.
He's gone to some rough places. I think the big one. That's all I'll say is the Forest video.
Yeah, okay. My introduction to Logan Paul was the Forest, and then like 4 years later, I heard about him again, and I was like, he's still around.
Only to
find out that he's massive.
Yeah, that Forest video would have literally killed any other human being's entire relevancy in this world.
I will look it up.
Yeah.
How? Don't look it up.
You do not want to look it up.
Just trust me.
I think this is the YouTube safe way to say it. He walked into a forest known for people unaliving themselves and filmed an unalive person and cracked jokes about them.
And cracked jokes.
Bro. Yeah, like it was a bad cool. Like how do you bounce back from that at all is baffling.
I don't even know. I think that's kind of crazy. It's rough. I don't even know.
So speaking of rough, someone who has been completely out of what is happening in wrestling, this next match baffles me with this lineup.
Can I have one more thing about Logan Paul? I'm so sorry.
Sure.
Come on.
I hate Logan Paul. So if Kevin Owens actually wins, like I would not be upset.
You'll burn like everything in your vicinity.
I'll have the reaction that G1 had when AJ Styles
just like leaping out off of things.
Has Logan Paul ever teamed up with Chelsea Green yet?
Not that
might be fun for future booking.
Okay.
The two influencers, like, book, like coming, like valet, and it would be so much fun. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So baffled by what is the six man tag team Philadelphia street fight between the Pride and the Final Testament, which are team names I've never heard.
I'm about to tell you who they are right now.
I see who they are. I'm just very confused where these teams came from.
The Final Testament is them saying we have no idea what to do with Cross and never really have. And this is our newest thing that we're going to throw against the wall.
And there's been talks about...
Cross is so good.
He's amazing. And there's There have been whispers for the longest about WWE, well, about Triple H bringing back in AOP, like we always talk about him taking care of his NXT darlings. He decided to bring them back in, and one of the dopest ways to give them a little bit of, give them some main roster screen time is let's make them the muscle of a faction with Karrion Kross at the helm, and still bring Paul Ellering for that old element. So just some scary shit going on. And then Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, I mean, these guys, obviously, there's some fire there. It's really going to make for, like, a really dope match. I personally would love for the Final Testament to win, but I don't think that's going to happen. And this is also another one that's like... Black Magic.
Sorry, my cat knocked my microphone out.
No, Josh's cat jumped in and said, Josh's cat is on the top rope.
but Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, putting them together in a squad actually wasn't bad to begin with. And I still wish there were more people in that faction, but they make a good team. They're going to end up winning, but if I was booking the show, it would be Final Testament in a dominant win.
I think Final Testament's gonna win.
You think this is the part where they finally get some serious?
Because they built up two tag teams with zero notoriety. Exactly. Bobby Lashley's a shoo-in to be a Hall of Famer in the future, and the Street Profits will always be over. So, what is the best way to put over?
That's true. They don't need to win this in order to be over. Yeah. Exactly. Have we ever had
normally WrestleMania is the place to conclude stories. It's never really the place to start stories. What a great way to start a story.
And damn, like, I want to work for you.
the thing I don't just, understand, I again.
Because if it, here's the thing, though, because it's like Vince and all of the Vince booking, we kind of have to throw how we used to look at WWE kind of out the window a little bit.
That's true.
We're in like a little bit of no man's territory, and this is the first time that like a new reign has been able to like book the matches, and they're not only trying to set up the conclusion and starting of the next year, they're kind of trying to set the precedent of this is how the booking will be moving forward. So to be as unpredictable as possible with as many matches as possible is actually favor, because more people will be invested to watch the lower card matches. They're not just for The Rock coming back and being in the Bloodline. They have to continue to get people invested for the next year.
Yeah, that's fair. The thing that shocks me the most right now is that just everything that I felt 4 years ago when I was watching regularly was like, the Street Profits are short for this world because they're clearly just going to give Montez Ford a huge singles run, and I guess that still has not happened from what I can see. He is still shackled to Angelo Dawkins.
And I know Angelo. Angelo, I remember he was pretty public about having a pretty big chip on his shoulder about that perception, and he was like working twice as hard for a while there because he was like, no, this dude's not going to leave me behind. Like, I'm not going to get shown up.
I missed a lot of step up because when I was watching for a while, I was like, this is a one-man tag team as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
So last year's WrestleMania, speaking of Angelo, and I just want to give him a shout out since we got this Angelo slander going on. But
yes,
I think one of my favorite spots of WrestleMania last year, which I don't even like on paper, it sounds like such a nothing spot. But like Braun Strowman was doing his like train thing running around the ring.
Yeah.
And then Montez just Angelo just popped out of nowhere and just like tackled him down and stopped it.
Oh, yeah, sure like, did. Yo, that was a big I've never moment
seen,
for
like,
him.
You know, and at that point, you've never seen anybody stop Braun Strowman mid-charge like that. That was exactly. insane. Like, agreed. You know, so much crazy stuff happened at last year's Mania, and that's probably the one thing that I remember more than anything else on the night, for whatever reason. But all yeah, right. I guess this match is kind of weird for me because it's like, I feel like both teams need momentum. The Pride's relatively new, and I feel like they've kind of haven't had a whole lot of, like, important things to do in the last couple of months. But then, like, the Final Testament's a new group, and you don't want to kill a new group as soon as it debuts.
Nah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Only one of these two tag teams, or only one of these two factions has a hyperlink on Wikipedia, and it is not the Pride.
So, I mean, I'm 50-50, but just to be contrarian, I'm going to say that Bobby Lashley and Street Profits win just because they've stopped on Cross so many times that it would not surprise me for them to stop again.
That's okay. That's what IGN said too.
All right. Well, then lastly, the big match, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Does Reigns go a whole nother year with this title, or does Cody finally get to finish the story?
I got adrenaline in my soul, man.
Yeah.
Does it have to do with the bus?
I got so much adrenaline in my soul for Cody.
something Cody Rhodes.
Again, so as we talked about earlier, we know what's gonna happen night one. Rock and Roman gonna beat that ass. The match gonna be Bloodline rules. They gonna make it hard for Cody. Cody has his best matches when he has to climb out of some shit.
Yeah. 100% he does.
And so he's going to make this win the most meaningful win possible because they're going to put him through pure hell. But if any night was the night to give Cody Rhodes the championship on the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania in sight of his father and all these fans and to finally wrap up this fucking story, because for the love of God, I'm so tired of hearing about it. Cody needs to win he can stop talking about finishing the damn.
It drove me crazy.
With respect.
Finished the story shirts last year, and then only for him to lose. There's so many disappointed people.
Right. They done rewrote that story a couple of times, man. That story. The never ending story.
Do you think that with Bloodline rules, we're going to get a glass break?
Oh, why not?
That's been the rumor going along, but honestly.
That's been the rumor.
Not. Why not? Like, I mean, we obviously seen that.
To put The Rock and Austin for one final time.
Of course.
See, my thought process everybody is, for one, I said earlier, WWE sucks at subtlety. And so, I could
which
see
has
them
been
doing
the most
it,
accurate thing that we've said this entire prediction video.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I just wouldn't want to see it partially because of that, because it's like, oh, okay. So Austin's going to come out and stun The Rock, and then Cena's going to come out and like take out Jimmy and Solo, and then Cody wins the match, and then they raise his hand. They're like, hey, look, guys, it's the new generation, Steve Austin and Cena. Like, that's to me, that's so corny. Like, I really don't want that to happen. But for me, it goes back to night one. Like, I think the perfect setup for this match is laid out in front of them, where Bloodline, they win the first night. So Bloodline rules. You have Cody face like the maximum like adversity. And this match was initially, as everyone I'm here listening and everyone on the panel knows, was supposed to be Rock versus Roman.
Right.
And so that's happening at some point. And I think if like Austin or Cena or whoever were to show up, that dilutes the chances of just straight up having some miscommunication with The Rock and Roman, where The Rock ultimately is the one who pulls the trigger and costs Roman the title. And then now that sets up whatever it is, SummerSlam, WrestleMania next year.
Resets up Rock and Roman. SummerSlam and they'll make it dope.
Yeah, but you still have Raw the night after to kind of explain any miscommunication that happens in the ring that day.
Mm-hmm. just in my head, I envision the Philadelphia crowd just like coming completely unglued when, after some tension back and forth, The Rock just throws Roman's arm over his shoulder, hits that rock bottom. Everyone just losing their mind.
That's
Cody,
what I want
him
to see.
Popping back up, Cody hitting that crossroads and just walking out.
Listen,
that's what I want to see.
Keep in mind,
I want to see that.
They're sending The Rock. I mean, this is The Rock in one of the only cities that straight up booed his ass when they were unhappy with what was happening.
With Rock and Roman. Scary,
was when Rock was when came out to hold up Reigns' hand after a Royal Rumble win.
It's like
and
an
just
8 minute
showered from some Philadelphia booze. Uh-oh. So, yeah, they got to do, he's got to make up for that. He needs to get the crowd in Philly to cheer for him again.
Right. It's some redemption because Roman got him booed the first time and now he's getting,
all right. Well, it sounds like that's across the board. All of you think the story does finally end here. So,
for the love of Christ.
So, we've got two more questions. Question number one of these six matches of night two. What is the one you're most excited for?
For very biased personal reasons, I'm going to say LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Right. I'm just so thrilled to see him on that stage.
I think that's going to be the low key match of the night. Like
besides the main 100%. Event, I'm saying Knight and Styles definitely. That's what I want to see.
I think that's across the board. All right, so
for storytelling, I think I'm interested in the Drew McIntyre Seth Rollins World Heavyweight Champion.
Okay, that's also good. Okay,
that's fair.
All right. So the final question, then we'll wrap this all up, and we'll plug our different podcasts and where people can listen to them. We get through WrestleMania. You guys kind of have your rough predictions. Let's just do one or two storylines that you see being like a springboard from this Mania. What do you say? Like, let's say, what are two or three matchups that you brought up SummerSlam, Josh? I think that's the next real goalpost, we'll say. Like, what matches do you think we see at SummerSlam that begin from the aftermath of WrestleMania? And we'll go round robin. We'll start with you, though, Joshua, and we'll do an awkward little thing.
Perfect, yeah. But, I mean, we kind of touched on it earlier, but the thing I'm most excited to see is where LA Knight goes. And with off the back of Logan Paul's win that we're all predicting, I really think that the seeds are going to be planted to give LA Knight his big his first title win in WWE against someone everyone loves versus someone everybody pretty much hates. So looking forward to that. Other than that, like I was saying before, I was considering going if Punk was going to main event. And so I'm really excited to see what direction the Raw World title is going to go in. Like what role Punk's going to play in it, how Seth is going to bounce back from the loss we're all expecting, and where Damian Priest falls into all of it, because I think there's a lot of intrigue with those four people being involved, and it can go in so many different directions.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll bounce over to G1.
I'm with Bro on that, like the CM Punk situation. He said he was going to be there. I refuse to believe it. All he's doing is commentary. And I refuse to believe that he is still 100% injured. So we're definitely going to see some Punk interaction. And there will be, again, new story built between him and Seth. You know what I mean? I feel like you can set up a program between Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre, make them beef with each other in the chase at eventually maybe grabbing the belt from Logan Paul. You can set that up. I mean, you know, Rock after this is going to be gone for a little while on some filming type stuff. But I mean, that doesn't mean, like we talked about, that he probably wouldn't be back in time for like a SummerSlam. Typically, SummerSlam takes place in August. So if you're filming something, you got April, May, June, July. You got about 5 months of steady work. He could come back. Him and Roman could have a banger at SummerSlam, and they could go off into the sunset. Maybe at SummerSlam is either where we see the end of the Bloodline story or the rise of a new generation Bloodline, because I heard Bloodline was supposed to be joined by some new people anyway. So, Those are just some of the things I see. And overall, it's just going to be a crazy two nights. Like, for the first time since they started doing two-night WrestleManias, I'm hella excited about both nights, honestly.
There you go. And Kate, you've been kind of the super booker on this particular panel today. So,
I mean, I don't know about that.
Let's get one or two out of you. What do you think is going to happen following Mania?
I think we're going to get the breaking of the Judgment Day on the next night. I think we're going to get it on Raw. Mm-hmm. With Rhea retaining her title. I'm not sure if it will, Dominic's win or loss will affect that, but I think that's definitely what's going to happen. It might actually be more funny if it's like, well, mommy, I won. It's like, no. I think we're going to get more of a push for Escobar and the Legado stable. Mm-hmm. And I think that SummerSlam we're going to build up Drew and Damian's feud, and then Seth versus Punk. For SummerSlam, I think that's what we're gonna get. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Kevin Owens. I think Kevin Owens and Logan Paul are gonna stay in this weird thing.
Okay.
And I think that the Black Girl Magic is gonna start like locked in into a stable for a bit.
You're right. That would All be right. fire. But who's the leader of that stable?
Is it Jade?
Yeah. And I think that's what
kind of... And I think Bianca is 150 million percent on board for putting her over, because then when there's infighting within the group, that would be really awesome.
Oh, of course. Right. You know, that's what they want to do. They both talked about this for so long in two different companies, how they would love to put together a program against each other. And this is the way to do it. Make them be a team for a little bit and make it look like a betrayal, but just don't... My fear with that, but I feel like I don't have to be afraid of this with Triple H, but my only fear is anytime they do a dope team like this, they always had them together for like 5 seconds and then they do it. Yeah. Can they
like Y2AJ?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, can they do their thing for a second? Can I watch Jade and Bianca and Naomi dominate for a minute? I just personally, for me, I just think it's long overdue. We ain't seen nothing like this since Team BAD with Naomi, Mercedes Moné, and Tamina Snuka. So,
yeah, I think also Naomi deserves a comeback after all of it. Like, Naomi freaking deserves it. And also, now that I said it, I want Logan Paul to team up with Chelsea Green and Chelsea to be the badass valet and this weird, like, you know, I don't know. I want a Miss Elizabeth Macho Man thing to happen.
Hell yeah.
God, well, Kate, we're gonna hang out with you just a little bit longer for some quick plugs, since you are the one that does not currently have an active podcast, but you've got one just over the horizon. Let's talk about what you've got coming up next in your podcasting career.
So I have been building a podcast about screenwriting. It's called Writers of the Lost Ark, ARC, not ARK. Yes, it is a playoff of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it is about if a movie is good or bad, but after the writer's strike happened last year, it's, can we just examine the scripts of a movie or movies? And if we just make changes to those scripts, could we make those movies better? I am a screenwriter. I am a director. And I want to be able to facilitate positive conversations about screenwriting and movie making with the community. So this isn't a podcast about, was this movie good or bad? The CGI sucked. This is like, how do we write a good MacGuffin? How do we world build effectively just looking at the studying the movies and TV that we have today available to us? So Writers of the Lost Ark will hopefully Matt likes it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kate. Going to drop you into the green room. Josh, we'll go to you next. One of the hosts of our video game podcast, Dynamic Resolution. Tell us a little bit about that before we bounce you out too.
Yes, sir. So I'm on Dynamic Resolution with my boys, Shane, Derek, and Logan. It's a video game podcast, sometimes about cookies, sometimes about trucks, sometimes about our personal like mishaps for the 2 weeks, but we record bi-weekly. We're recording again this weekend, and we just kind of talk about all the ins and outs of the game industry, all the terrible things that are happening in it and all of the things that we've been playing each in between each recording. So check us out and thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. And if you don't know that much about video games, great news. The first 45 minutes or so, they normally haven't talked about video games yet. So that's the part that I'm usually tuning in for. And then they start talking about game news and it becomes background noise for me a little bit. So it's one of my favorite shows on the Geekscape Network. Shane just crushed it at PAX East for us. So thank you, Josh. And lastly, G1. I mean, we're going to put this, if you're okay with it, let's put this up on the Matt Mania feed like tomorrow morning.
Wow.
But tell us about Matt Mania. Matt Mania is back.
Yes. Matt Mania podcast definitely back for a 2024 run in the midst of me, Mega Ran, and T-Call currently working on an album. So that's a whole nother conversation that we'll get into at another time. But yeah, man, for the first time we were able to do a watch party. I told you about it. Exhale Society Consumption Lounge here in Tempe, Arizona, were gracious enough to have us. And quite a few people came out. We did a live podcast there, and then we did a recap, which we then put up on the site. So y'all could definitely go listen to that. But yeah, Matt Mania definitely back in full swing. We definitely got a bunch of shows lined up. We want to do another viewing party, probably a little closer to the summer, for a really dope pay-per-view. I'm thinking maybe AEW Dynasty, you know, would definitely get into it. But yeah, you know, definitely looking forward to getting another show in soon. The guys are currently in Philly right now, you know, at Wale Mania and all that. So shout out to Rand, shout out to T-Call, blessings to my brothers, be safe out there. And I'll see y'all when y'all get back. But yes, I'm show host and co-producer. Well, one of the show hosts and the co-producer, the show producer on Matt Mania Podcast, the Southwest Authority on wrestling, hip hop, and everything in between. And coming this summer, G1 to the Rescue presents Tapped In, whole nother project. But I will still be an active member of Matt Mania going forward, of course.
Love it. And over here at Geekscape, we're going to, maybe not before every pay-per-view, because dear God, are there a lot of pay-per-views nowadays. But on these the big ones, these tentpole ones, we'll do some more of these live stream panels. So
I think it'll
stay
be dope.
Tuned for more of that.
Hell yeah. I think it'll be dope. I think this was a really dope panel. Shout out to the other two that went in here. Blessings to y'all. Appreciate y'all for tapping in.
All right. And we're signing off. Hopefully it's a great weekend, everybody.
Blessings, Matt.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.